Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Ooh, Trust and Will.
My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable. And I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear.
Trust and Will.
Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
If you're looking for a new way to support the podcast, check out W.GG, an energy supplement company trying to make a difference. There you can use code SIDEMISSION for 10% off your order. Thank you to W for sponsoring this episode, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome into the newest episode of Side Mission. I, like always, am your host, Rusty Ellis, joined by just one of the boys, Matt Beck. And we are wrapping up our reviews for the year, as crazy as that sounds, probably. Our last video game review of the year, at least that we have planned, Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. Matt, we are wrapping up. We're coming up on wrapping up year 5 of Side Mission, which seems kind of crazy that we've been doing this for 5 years now. But we have one more review today, and then we get to record our top 15, which is a lot of fun. But I think we're ending on what both of us would agree is a really, really solid note for the year 2025, because Metroid Prime 4 is a really, really high-quality game. Now, not a game without issues, and certainly not a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination, but Matt, as somebody who is waiting for this game for as many years as you have been, kind of similar in the same vein for Kyle when it came to Air Riders, did this game live up to the hype for you?
Take into account that Metroid Prime 3 came out roughly about 18 years ago. Metroid Prime 4 was originally announced back in 2017, the launch year of the Switch at that first E3, and then absolute silence. And then we had an update, I believe, about 3 years later, where they said that Nintendo was not happy with the results that this development team over at Namco Bandai was doing for Metroid Prime 4. So they ended up canceling the project with them all together and then sending it back to Retro Studios, who is the creator of Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3. And after my experience with Metroid Prime 4, there's a lot of ups. There are some downs when, you know, you're a Metroid fan and there's just a certain type of quality that you expect. Especially coming off having Metroid Dread, which was a fantastic, phenomenal 2D game in the Metroid franchise.
Correct me if I'm wrong, did we review Dread? I don't think we did.
I think we did not, but it did show up on our Game of the Year list a couple years ago.
Which is funny, because I'll go ahead and give everybody a spoiler alert, because I've already got the list put together. There are absolutely going to be there's a game or two on there that we did not review. So it's going to be a very interesting list, but continue.
But yeah, after, you know, getting almost close to the end game in Metroid Prime 4, I'll definitely rank it above 3. Two, I'm still debating on. I want to beat the game first and see everything there's to offer. But as it still stands, Metroid Prime 1 is still the one that feels the most Metroid as far as the isolation goes, as far as just, you know, experiencing this alien planet and the puzzles that you solve in order to further explore. But Metroid Prime 4 is definitely going to probably either be 2 or 3 for me at the moment.
I think that says a lot when
a series, especially one as beloved as Metroid, when the first one is still, and you consider yourself a pretty big fan of the series. That says a lot that that very first game is still the one that you feel like really defines the series. I mean, obviously, we played and reviewed the remaster a couple of years ago, and it was a really, really well-done remaster, and that was my first experience playing the game, period, so I really thoroughly enjoyed what I played of it. I do think this is a really, really good game, and again, we've said this with a lot of the Switch 2 releases in these first 6 months. Like, there's part of me that in the new year, one of the first episodes I want to do is kind of looking back on the first 6 months of the Switch 2, because I do feel like it's been a good 6 months. I feel like it has been a very, very good initial half year for the Switch 2, but I do think there's a lot to discuss there. I think that this falls in line with, it's been very consistent. I think that the content we've gotten, when you look at Air Riders, Legend ZA, Hyrule Warriors, and Air Riders, Donkey Kong Bonanza, all that, it has been consistent quality, in my opinion. Now, outside of really DK Bonanza, I can't really say that it's been perfect quality. I can't really say that. Like, DK Bonanza is, I think, one of two games this year that I would give a 10 out of 10 to. And I'm going to leave it at that, because the rest of that discussion is for the top 15 list. But I don't know. This game, I go back and forth on it, because the level design to me is one of the most standout things of this game. I love the level design of what I've played. And it keeps me wanting to play more, because I feel that Metroid aspect of it, of, okay, here's a door or here's a part that I can't progress through. Let me go somewhere else and figure out what I need to be able to come back and progress this way. And it's addicting. That gameplay loop is addicting, and I love that. However, I also feel like Metroid Prime Remastered did that a little bit better. I also felt like it did that a little bit better in the time I spent with that game versus the time I've spent with this game. And if a game that is, you know, going on 2 decades old, if not already 2 decades, I'm pretty sure it's 2 decades old. Yeah, it has to be over 2 decades old at this point. Like, if a game did that, that was on the GameCube versus your new release on the Switch 2, to me, that's concerning. It doesn't mean that the level design is bad or that any of that gameplay loop is not good. But I do think that there's a fair point there to be made, Matt, that maybe that's why you prefer the first game, because you've kind of seen this now a few times. Has it gotten better? I don't know. I'm not so sure that it has.
I mean, primarily one of my issues that I have with the level design in this game is the fact that it just feels like you're going up and down a lot, because you're constantly using elevators. And then it's like it has several rooms that go left and right. And then obviously there's a lot of hidden items in this game, like the missiles, the power bombs, the, you know, energy tanks. And yep, a lot of times once you are in those areas for the first time, you're not going to get access to these items, because later on in the game, they introduce different elemental attacks for your weapons, fire, ice, and lightning. And these, like, you're going to come, like, you know, you're going to come back to these levels, and they're going to open up a lot more. But in those first few, like, you know, times that you go there, it's really just up and down, you know, right, back, left, and, you know, left and right. And it doesn't really feel like the kind of layout that the first Metroid Prime game did have, where it's like you can go, you can find these areas, you can transform to the Morph Ball, you can access there, but it feels like that the rooms go off in different directions instead of just left and right, up and down, that kind of thing. And I definitely feel like, because a lot of the development issues that this game did have, especially once you start for the, you know, start from the basics and give it to back to the studio who created it in the first place, I just feel like that, you know, maybe they were scrapped for time, which is rough to say, especially because of the fact that there was an 8-year wait for the time that Metroid Prime 4 was first announced to its release.
Yes.
I hope that Retro Studios listens to the feedback for this game, because like I said, this game is fantastic. This is a great way to end the year. This is a great way to, you know, start a new trilogy for Metroid Prime. Like, I love what they did. It's just, it's not without flaws.
I will say, getting into a more positive side of it, because I do like the level design. I don't think it's bad at all by any means. I think it's really, really good. I think the linchpin for what makes this game addicting and what makes this game fun is the combat. Like, I think the combat and the gunplay, if you can call it that, is, in my opinion, it's a blast to play. I love it. Like, the boss fights I've gone through so far, I've loved figuring them out. Like, there have been moments, I've had moments where I'm like, okay, what in the world am I supposed to do here? I'm very, very confused. And then I think about it for a few more minutes, and I'm like, oh, I just need to do this real quick. And you figure it out. Like, I'm very proud of myself, because normally in games like this, I'm very prone to looking stuff up. I am very, very prone to looking up solutions to puzzles or to boss fights. I'm prone to doing that. I did that pretty much the entirety of Tears of the Kingdom. I'm not even going to lie. But I feel very proud because I haven't had to do that so far. I feel like I've been able to figure it out, you know, each boss or each puzzle. Each moment that I've kind of been stumped and I'm like, I wonder what I need to do here. I've been able to figure it out. I'm very proud of myself for that. So I do think that that part of the gameplay loop, the combat, the boss fights, it's a standout. And it's, again, I want to see even more of it. And I will see even more of it beyond this review. So it's something that's something that I personally fell in love with. Now, the story, I'm going to be honest, as somebody that's not really a big Metroid fan, I don't think that this story is going to turn somebody into a big Metroid fan. I don't think it's going to do that, per se. Matt, you might have a different take there than me. I don't know. Like, I don't want to just devolve this into, hey, you put these kind of humorous characters into a game that really isn't known for humor. I don't know if it really works, and it feels like it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. I don't want to devolve it into that, but there were some side characters that I've met so far that I can't stand. And there's some of them you've seen clips of on Twitter by now, I'm sure. Some of them you've probably seen clips on YouTube of. I don't know. Like, to me, I know you told me it doesn't bother you as much. I don't think it's even that it bothers me. I think it's just kind of that it sticks out. It's very, very different from the rest of the game, which is very serious and has a very serious tone. When you have these soldiers, these space cadets, whatever the hell they're called, freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, freaking out at the presence of Samus. I think that is something, it sticks out. Like, it's, people are dying and you've got somebody that is fangirling out over Samus, or somebody that is, you've got like Miles McKenzie when you meet him for the first time. He's stranded, getting ready to die, and he meets Samus, and the first thing he does is he goes from having very serious dialogue when you first see him to, again, kind of fanboying out over Samus. And it's just kind of odd, and I get it. I see what they were going for, because Samus is a legend in this world and in this universe. Samus is a legend, is a hero. I get that. But I don't know. It just kind of sticks out, and it's just kind of weird to me. I don't know. Matt, you said you felt differently about that, so I do want to hear your take.
So, honestly, in the beginning, okay, so my issue doesn't necessarily lie with the, you know, the fact that, you know, we have these side characters for Samus in the story. It's just the fact that Samus isn't much of a character here, because she's not really interacting with the dialogue, and she doesn't say anything. I mean, they went as far as to get a new voice actor for her, and all she does in this game is she just does the yells when she's damaged or when she dies.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the whole fangirling thing, at first I thought it was cute, but it kept going. Like, I had a moment where I had to chuckle when, you know, you first meet Nora and Duke, and then when you transform into the morph ball, and she was like, "Sarge, look, she's doing it." And I'm just like, "Oh God!"
It's like, she's doing the thing. It's like, okay.
Yeah, she's doing the thing. Like, okay, Retro Studios, you clearly spent some time on message board and just watching Marvel movies for quips, as people will compare.
That's actually,
a lot of dialogue in this movie is Marvel quips.
That's actually a great way to describe it. I hadn't thought of that. That is a great way to describe it.
But besides, when you have your McKenzies and you have Nora, you also have Duke, and you have Reger, and you have even the robot, which they're pretty chill most of the time. Like, they're more serious, they're more, you know, professional. And like, McKenzie's really just here to be in your ear, which, it, you know, as a Metroid fan, we don't want a side character in our ear. We just want to explore this alien planet and figure things out on our own. I don't need Mackenzie in my ear radioing me over while I'm just, you know, cruising in the desert telling me, hey, man, you should probably go to this location, or hey, if you're lost, this is where you need to go. I don't want a Metroid game to tell me where to go. I want a Metroid game to let me explore on my own, figure things out on my own, especially because that is Samus's character.
I do think this game does let you do that for the most part. I do think that having someone in your ear say, hey, maybe you should go here. Like, okay, it's been kind of a joke I've made, but whenever I've heard those words, I'm like, okay, maybe you should shut the fuck up.
I've had options to mute the radio.
Like I've had that reaction to it multiple times. I'm like, all right, maybe you should just shut up. Like, I don't, like, why are you, like, you don't need to tell me everything. Like, I'm okay. Like, have there been times where I've gotten, like, you know, you helped me earlier today when I was on one section trying to figure out, okay, now where exactly do I need to go next? But the moment you gave me, like, one little detail, I was like, okay, I'm able to figure this out from here. Like, yeah. I can figure it out from there. Like, it's not that bad. Like, I think that Metroid is very similar in, you know, in part to, like, the Souls-like genre, where it's, the story is typically very, very obtuse. It's typically very, very ambiguous, and you don't, you kind of have to figure it out for yourself, and it's not going to tell you where to go or everything. But there's a charm to that, and there's a charm to exploring and figuring something out on your own. I do think this game maintains that charm for the most part, but I do very much see the criticism of sometimes it tells you a little too much.
Yeah.
And there's times where you wish you could silence it. You had a very, very, you had another interesting point when we talked about the game a few days ago, and I wanted to bring this up. Because you mentioned Samus obviously not really being an active participant in the story. Not that she doesn't do anything. She does stuff, obviously. You play as her. But this is kind of, this is a big Nintendo issue at this point.
Yeah.
And it's something that Nintendo is very clearly not prioritizing when it comes to some of their bigger first-party games. Obviously, they don't prioritize it when it comes to Pokemon at all. At least this game has some voice acting, but it does feel like the fact that Samus doesn't even, like, acknowledge half of what is said to her, it just feels weird. Like, it feels almost like these side characters are talking to a brick wall. Because there's not even really, like, a nod or a thumbs up. There's not really anything that that you would see here that you're gathering, oh, yeah, Samus knows what's going on, or, you know, Samus agrees, or whatever. Like, there's no real interaction. And it's like, it just feels kind of bland at that point. It feels kind of pointless. Like, why do you have all this effort to tell me all this if the character I'm playing as is not going to react to any of the information they were just given?
Yeah, hey, Rusty, like, real fast.
Go ahead.
When you said the whole thumbs up thing, I'm pretty sure you probably just triggered a bunch of Metroid fans, because in Other M, when Adam, you know, was talking to her, she didn't say much. She just did a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
I didn't even know that. That's just crazy.
Thumbs up. It just reminded me of that game.
Well, but my whole point of it is like, at least in Pokemon, despite the fact that there's no voice acting, when somebody gives your character some information, your character at least has some animations that they do where they're like, okay, I understand. Like, it's very clear there. Here, it's Samus just doesn't move. She just doesn't move. And it's like, you could nod your head, you could shake your head, you could shrug your shoulders, you can do whatever, but there's no real acknowledgement that Samus really, like, is understanding of what was just said. Now, obviously, we know that Samus understands, but it does kind of bring your point back of Samus does not really act as an active participant in the story, and I think that does make the story a little awkward.
Yeah, it 100% it does. I mean, the fact that, you know, so going back to Other M, this was the very first time that they actually gave Samus a backstory. Like, they gave her a character, and unfortunately, it didn't work out too well. A lot of people found Samus listening to a man as sexist, and that's out of Samus's character. I honestly have a issue with Samus as a character alone. Like, don't get me wrong, Samus is one of the coolest characters in Nintendo. She's a bounty hunter in space who fights space pirates and space dragon Ridley. Like, she's a great concept. Unfortunately, I just don't think that Nintendo Retro, like, I don't think that they know what Samus' personality is, unfortunately. the thing is, she's just a silent protagonist, and I always think that she's going to remain that way, even though, you know, under the suit, she is, you know, Samus Aran. She had a childhood. She grew up raised by Chozo because her family was murdered by Ridley. Like, she has a past. She has trauma. And in Super Metroid, one of the first times that she showed a character, like a personality, is when she cared for the last baby Metroid. And that's what led to the events of Other M. And unfortunately, it's just they didn't stick the landing for her as a character. And I do hope that whether it's Metroid Prime 4 or it's the next 2D Metroid, because even in Dread, she was silent. She had like one moment where she spoke, but she was speaking in Chozo. I'd love to see Samus get some sort of like update to a personality, to a character, to make me want to connect with her.
I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. Now, I do want to go back to this before we call this an episode. I do want to make this very, very clear. I do think the game is very, very good. I think it's a high quality game, and that if you're a fan of the Metroid series, you're probably going to like this game. You're probably going to like it in all likelihood. I know there's been a lot of heated contention to that, you know, there are a lot of Metroid fans that there are certain things in this game they do not like. I know the desert is very much one of them. And I think that's fair, because I think that adds a lot of just bulk to a game that doesn't really need it. I've always said, if you feel the need to add something like this, then in my opinion, you don't understand your game, because this game does not need filler. This game doesn't really have a need for filler. It's a relatively long game. It's a long enough game as is. It's going to run you, what, about probably 20 hours to beat this game. You don't need to add a section like the desert just to go from place to place and make it like, oh, artificially, every time you travel the desert from one side to the other, it's going to take you 10, 15 minutes. Like, you don't really have to do that. Like, it's really just weird. It's a really weird decision. Now, the bike, that is a great addition. The bike is fantastic. I love that. Like, that is awesome. And it controls really well.
So smoothly. Like,
you remember when we recorded for Mafia of the Old Country earlier this year and we talked about bad driving in video games then? This does not have that problem. Thank God. Because Mafia of the Old Country was damn terrible.
I would take a Metroid racing game at this point if the controls were that smooth.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be pretty cool, honestly. I think I'd like that a lot, actually. Be better than any Tron game we've ever been given. But nonetheless, I do think this is a high-quality game that just has some issues. I know we talk about scoring. Scoring is so weird here. It's hard for me to sit here and give this game a confident score. But I feel like a 7.5 or an 8 is very fair. I think an 8's a good score. Like, I think that's good. And I think that we've consistently seen that from Nintendo's releases in these first 6 months. And if that is any indication into how the first full year of the Switch 2 will go, I think we're in for some really big games. Was there anything else you wanted to add before we call it an episode, Matt?
The last thing that I want to add is, for someone who has waited 18 years to see this next section of, you know, Silex's mission, because, you know, when you 100% Metroid Prime 3, you get the secret ending where he shows up and then nothing. And so far, he has just been a aura farmer. Like,
yes,
you'll fight him a couple of times, and like his moveset's kind of cool, except one thing that's really annoying is where he basically turns into a spinner and trying to figure out, like, I'll probably have to help you out that, because it took me a long time. But so far, Silex has done nothing except just show up. Samus and him, you know, go at it, and then he's gone. Like, I'm so tired of that trope when it comes to the games.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I think there are a lot of things like that in games where it's like, oh, the enemy shows up, they aura farm for a few seconds, now they're gone. I do think that could have been improved drastically, but it's not a huge issue in my opinion. And I do think that I think it's an issue that I could take or leave, you know, the more you think about it. So, right. But high quality game. I do think people should give it a try. I think that it's worth the money that you pay, because we haven't even talked about this yet, and we'll just leave it on this. The game looks and runs really, really good. Looking game. Like,
you can play this at 120 frames per second.
Like, thinking about what Switch 1 games used to look like and now seeing what this looks like, especially in handheld, I mean, this game looks and runs beautifully. So I think it's absolutely worth the money. So that is going to do it for this episode of Side Mission. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Side Mission Pod. You can check us out on Facebook as well at Side Mission Podcast. For Matt, I'm Rusty. Thanks for listening.